Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time to get ready. We keep saying that because that's Advent. That's the purpose. To get ready. To be ready for when Christ comes again. To be ready to celebrate the birth of our Savior. We need to be ready. We all realize what we need to do to be ready. Part of it depends on what we're trying to get ready for. If you know the job that you have, you know how to get ready for it. If you're going to be working with your hands, if you're going to be in the mud, in the muck, you're not going to dress up. You're going to wear something appropriate that'll keep you warm, that'll keep you safe. You work in an office, you're expected to show a certain amount of what we would consider in this country professionalism. You know what you need to wear. So you don the dress or the tie. You know you're going to school, you know what to wear. We dress for the occasion. We get ourselves ready in the morning dependent on what we are going to be doing for that day. I'm sure for most of you, when you get ready on Sunday morning, looks different than when you get ready on Monday morning. So what do we do to get ready for when Christ will come again? To make sure that we are properly adorned. We're wearing what we need to be. That our hearts and our minds have been prepared so that when He comes, we're not surprised, we're not taken aback, but we say, "Good, I've been waiting for you. Let's go." One of the things we need to do in order to have that assurance, to have that confidence for when He comes again, is to really know what it is that He has done and what it is that He gives. We have so many things to be thankful for. Thanksgiving is not that far in the past. We are reminded every day of the reasons we have to give thanks. Even in trying times, even in difficult times, even when everything seems to be falling apart or we deal with a year that is so difficult, we have so many things to be thankful for. We take a look here at this first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Well, actually, it's not probably the first letter he ever wrote to them, but it's the first one we have a record of. We see here what it is that Paul has to say as he's getting the Corinthians to focus their attention on what they truly have to be thankful for, which is exactly why he says what he says. He says, "Always thank God for His grace." And we need to be reminded of that too. Because that can be difficult. It can be hard. As we get into our heart and our mind all of the things that we have to deal with and all of our complaints and all of the things that come up that make us so we're not content, we too need to be reminded to always thank God for His grace. The Corinthians were a troubled congregation. Paul had communicated with them before this. He had talked with them about the difficulties that they were facing because they seemed to, at least some of them, show a lack of love and kindness towards each other. They had a superiority complex. They were starting to divide themselves into different groups. One who was better because probably they were wealthier than the other. They put too much emphasis on their own pride, their own wisdom, their own knowledge and understanding. They were struggling. I think we can sympathize, can't we? We live in a culture that does the same things. We focus far too much on our own understanding, our own capability. We don't put our attention to where it needs to be, focusing on the One who is, who was, and who is to come. On Christ, on our Savior. He is the one our attention should be focused on. And so what does Paul do? He puts their attention there. He starts off by saying this. Those well-known words that I started today, this sermon with, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace that God given to you in Christ Jesus. You were enriched in Him in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because the testimony about Christ was established in you." What do we have to be thankful for? He points to the one we have to be thankful for. He says, we always give thanks I do, Paul says. I always give thanks for you because God, in His mercy and grace, has brought you to faith. I always give thanks to my God because of all the things that you have come to know. Because in knowledge and in understanding, in speaking and in testimony, you have shown the faith that is created, that God Himself planted in your heart and now has come to beautiful fruition. You ever thought about that? How He mentions both things here? He says, we've been enriched in every way in all your speaking and in all of your knowledge. Think about that for a moment, how useless one is without the other. We can have all of the knowledge in the world, all of the understanding. We can have a perfect understanding and recollection of who Jesus is and everything that God has done for us. But if we're not willing to speak about it, if we don't give the testimony, what good is our knowledge to anyone else? Or we might be willing to speak, we may be willing to testify, but we have absolutely no understanding whatsoever. And so all that we spout is a bunch of drivel. And it's useless. In fact, it may be even worse than useless. It may be harmful as we start spreading false teaching. And yet, what does Paul say? I give thanks because of the grace God has given to you, because He has given to you both knowledge and understanding, and He has also given you the willingness to speak and to testify. And you do it. That grace of God that I testified to you while I was with you, that is what you have come to know, and that is what you are continuing to proclaim. And so He gives thanks. But notice, who does He give the thanks and praise to? It's not to the Corinthians. In fact, one of the things that's different about this opening to 1 Corinthians, different from, let's say, His opening to the Ephesians or to the Philippians or to the Romans, in all of those opening sentences, that opening paragraph, to all of the letters that Paul has written to other congregations, he always praises the congregation for something, at least almost always, about something that they've done, about something that they can give thanks to their God for, about some strength that that congregation has. He doesn't do that here. He points to the fact that the Corinthians have many gifts that they have been given, but He doesn't point to them. Instead, who does He point to? I give thanks because of the grace of God that has come to you through Christ Jesus our Lord. He always is pointing to the Savior. I think that should ring something in our minds for us, that we should come to some understanding of that too, of the importance of that. That this Advent season, as we are preparing ourselves, as we are getting ready, Paul is doing the same thing. He's not pointing to our own capabilities, our own accomplishments, all of the things that we can succeed at. He always and continually is pointing us to Christ, to the promises fulfilled in the Old Testament in Christ, to the promises that Christ has made that will still be fulfilled. And most importantly, to everything that He did on that cross to make sure for us we have forgiveness and life. You see, this is what we have to be thankful for. In the midst of trouble and tribulation, in the midst of everything else falling apart, we have one thing that could come from nowhere else. And the only thing that is truly needed for each and every one of us, our sin has been paid for, our guilt has been removed through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We give thanks every day because of the grace that God has shown us in Christ. And also for the other things that He has given. Because He has given us amazing spiritual gifts. He has given us, by the outpouring of the Spirit through faith, what we need to continue to be able to stay rooted in Him and now to be able to serve Him in this life. He gave the same thing to the Corinthians. In the next verse, He says, as a result of all of those blessings, all of the grace of God, as a result, you do not lack any gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't lack anything. Every gift had been given to the congregation in Corinth. Patience and endurance, confidence and faith. They even had some of the more spectacular spiritual gifts, the abilities of healing and speaking in tongues. They lacked nothing. Now, obviously not every person had every gift, but every gift was accounted for. The gifts given so that we can continue to testify, continue to proclaim about our Savior Jesus. I want you to take a moment to look at your life. It's not always easy to identify the gifts that God has given to His people. Maybe we can see them in others, but to see them in ourselves, that's hard. But by God's grace, He has abundantly poured out on each and every one of us exactly the gifts He wants us to have. There isn't a single one of us who has been brought to faith who has not been gifted by God with something. Maybe we won't ever identify it ourselves. Maybe we'll never see it, but it's still there. And it's still working for Christ, because that's what happens in faith. We give thanks to our God for that, the same as Paul did for the Corinthians, because they had been given the gifts by God, the gifts God had chosen. I think we get ourselves into trouble when we start comparing those things, comparing those gifts. Well, one gift is more vital or more important than another, and I don't have any way of serving. We begin to look at the people who have that capability to be leaders within the church, to stand up and to proclaim His message as the ones who are truly gifted. But I kind of got the short end of the stick. Why would we ever consider that? If God has given the gifts He wants us to have to us by His choice, if God is the one who has said, "This is what you have to serve me in my kingdom," why would we ever figure that that gift is not spectacular? It is. It's the one God chose for you to have. And it's meant to be used for His glory and for the spreading of His gospel. And if God wanted me to have it, there must have been a really good reason. And it must mean that it's perfect, just the way it is. So we use the gifts of God to prepare ourselves for when He comes again, to get others ready for Him to come, so that we can focus our attention as we do exactly what it is Paul continually does here. We point to Christ. And we have that assurance that He will keep us in fellowship with Him. The last verses that we have here that we're looking at today say this: "He will also keep you strong until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." He will keep us in fellowship. He's going to knit us together. He's going to tie us together with Him and with one another. Those of us who remain in faith, who stay steadfast to Him, who continually keep looking to Christ as our Savior, who long for His appearing again, we are kept in fellowship with Him. That's not something we're going to lose. If we stay rooted in our faith, trusting in Jesus, it's not like all of a sudden, because we stumbled or had trouble, that all of a sudden we're going to lose the promise of heaven that God has given in Christ. It's not like God is going to suddenly change His mind and decide, "I'm done with them." He doesn't do that. The reason Paul gives thanks is because those Corinthians who were struggling with sin, who were having a difficult time of it, were also kept in fellowship with God through faith. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That is the gift that God gives. That knitting together of us with Him, that we may remain in fellowship with Him, that we may have a lifelong relationship with Him. If we remain in the faith, that will never go away. That's the promise that we have. What hope and confidence does that build? I mean, think about it. I have a Savior who has forgiven me, and God promises He will not take that away from me, even if I make mistakes. And we've all made our share. The Corinthians had, Paul had, we have. And yet, we give thanks to God because we have that assurance. We have that fellowship with our Savior. We call Him Jesus, our brother. And we have that promise of heaven. It all comes about because of Christ. Do you notice how many times Paul mentions Jesus here? How many times he mentions Jesus as Christ and as Lord? There was a reason for that. Like I said, the Corinthians were struggling with exalting themselves and their own accomplishments, and they were not putting as much focus and attention as Christ on Christ as they should have. And yet in 9 verses, Paul refers to Christ 9 times. 9 times in 9 verses. Do you get his point? Do you see where his emphasis is? The same place ours is. As we're getting ready, as we're preparing ourselves for Christ to come, as we are looking at the birth of Jesus coming in Christmas, this entire Advent season, let that be our focus. Constantly, continuously, every thought focused on Christ. If we do that, we'll never stop giving thanks. Because of the grace that He has given in Jesus Christ. Because of the gifts that He gives us each and every day. Because of our fellowship that we have with Him and with fellow believers. I never stop giving thanks to Christ, Paul says, and may that too be the same thing we say. That we never stop giving thanks to our Savior as we long for His coming, as we prepare ourselves, as we get ourselves ready for that day. Let our hearts and minds be focused on Christ. Amen.